Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 246 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Quick shout out to a couple of people who've been really nice to me and having me on lately. The Young Turks. Many of you know I like doing episodes of the Young Turks, and I've gotten back into that. You can find that on YouTube, TYT. They're great. Very progressive, farther left than me usually, but we get along and I love them. And Jank and Anna and John, the people who run it, the anchors, they're smart and brilliant people. Great show, so thank you for that. And Stephanie Miller, who has me on her show occasionally whenever our schedules allow, and I just love her. She's really funny and smart. Check out the Stephanie Miller show. I'm also going to be on a new podcast. It's called Fear Not. It's going to be done with a man named Barry Glassner. Barry Glassner wrote a book called The Culture of Fear, Why Americans Are Afraid of the Wrong Things. And it's great. It's about us being afraid of crime versus the real statistics. You know, the real odds say that your kid is probably not going to get grabbed in the park and your airplane's not going to be hijacked. There's even a chapter about me. Yes, there is a chapter explaining that you don't have to be afraid of big black men. We're not that dangerous. So we're doing a podcast together, and that's going to be released soon. So that's what I've been up to. So I've been busy, and it's been good. But now let's get back to my podcast. So to kick it off, and you know, wow, I don't even mean to say this, like, let's get this out of the way. It's just that, no, I got a better way to say it. Here we go again. So as you probably know, at a STEM school in Colorado, there was another school shooting, and Kendrick Castillo is one of three kids who rushed the shooter. Kendrick, unfortunately, died. Another kid was wounded, but they stopped this. There were eight people wounded, one killed, but they are the ones, they didn't run away from the gun. They ran toward the gun, and they stopped the shooters. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible. But it's what we do. Right. When I say we, I mean the United States. We accept this. This is normal. This is just another school shooting. You can talk about this on and on. We could talk about the school shooting drills, et cetera, et cetera. Homely Hills, which is next to Bel Air, a rich part of L.A., they had found a house with 1,000 guns. They say it was, I guess, a gun running operation or something. There were so many guns, they laid them out in the driveway to try to inventory them, and they were taking pictures from helicopters. News helicopters were shooting pictures, no pun intended, shooting pictures of all the guns. It is insane. There are no words to explain it. There's no way to justify it. I'm sure someone at the NRA will say, well, if the kids at the school had a gun, they could have shot the shooter. Yeah, whatever the fuck. So God bless this kid Castillo, man. Wow. You know, again, the thing that blows my mind about these shootings and about these murders is that kid just went to school that day. You know, he went to school that day. His parents said goodbye in the morning, you know, and he went to school, and now he's dead, just like that. And we're talking about it now. It's already out of the news cycle. It happened 3 days ago, so, you know, it's done as far as our news cycle's concerned. Sorry about the garbage truck. This is what happens when you work during the middle of the day. I don't mean to be dismissive, but, you know, what is the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So here we go. Another kid killed at a school for no reason, absolutely no reason, and 1,000 guns found in a house to explain why kids are getting killed at schools. It's funny. Don't see these stories in other countries. Yeah, I said it. Don't see these stories in other countries. Okay, now I want to get into sports. You know what? This podcast, this is going to be the sports podcast, but not in the way you think. Yeah, the NBA playoffs are going on, and I love all that. But let's look at sports in America. America, some bitch. So the Red Sox won the World Series. You probably know that. They won last year, and they were, of course, invited to the White House. And there's been a lot of controversy, a lot of problem with athletes and champions being invited to the White House. But let's start with this Red Sox story, because the White House website said that the World Series Cup champion Boston Red Sox, S-O-C-K-S, were visiting the White House. Now, if you're not a sports fan, let's talk about how wrong this is. First of all, the Red Sox, S-O-X, are a baseball team. Red Sox, S-O-C-K-S, are Red Sox. You may have some in your sock drawer. You probably have one, because when you have really cool socks, the dryer always eats the other one. But yeah, that's it. Now, the World Cup Series. Okay, the World Cup, again, to non-sports fans, World Cup International Soccer Championship, which interestingly, United States does very poorly, and our women do great. Our women will win, but the men do very poorly in international soccer. The World Series is the historic championship of Major League Baseball here in the United States. That is not a small era, considering it's baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and possibly Chevrolet, even though Ford sells more trucks. But that is the definition of America, baseball. And they get it wrong, the World Cup Series. Let's stop for a moment. Let us reminisce. Let us imagine the Obama White House calling the World Series the World Cup Series. Fox News would have exploded. They would have exploded. They'd have explained to you that this is proof that he's Nigerian, un-American, World Cup is a bunch of internationals, and blah, 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 blah. And this American tradition, some bitch, black some bitch, call it World Cup, must be from Nigeria or South America. So blah, blah, blah. Oh, gosh, they would have lost their fucking minds. They would have lost their minds. The World Cup Series? Are you kidding me? The World Cup? Yeah. So that happened. Forgive the background noise. I am home, which is nice. And I think one of my neighbors is drilling for oil, honestly. I don't know what they're doing, but it's loud machinery in the background. And there's not much I can do about it. So please bear with me. So getting back to this sports theme, I read a great article by Jemele Hill, formerly of ESPN, and it's entitled, Why Don't White Athletes Understand What's Wrong with Trump? Now, as you know, there have been numerous athletes, teams invited to the White House. Some just don't go. Golden State Warriors, I think, handled it best. They didn't go. They instead went and visited Barack Obama. Some do go. You know, when Clemson, the national champions in football, went, Trump fed them a bunch of McDonald's food. So, you know, it's up to the team. Honestly, it is up to the team. But here's the thing. You have the Red Sox, who won the World Series. They went, they accepted the invitation to go to the White House. Their manager, Alex Cora, who happens to be Puerto Rican, didn't go. Many of their players of color didn't go. David Price, pitcher, Mookie Betts, the American League MVP, declined to attend. Hector Velasquez, Mexican relief pitcher, didn't go. And we know why they didn't go. They didn't go because Trump continually spits out racist garbage, whether he's calling Nazis okay people. You know, there's good people on both sides. Those are the good Nazis. Or treating Puerto Rico as if it's not part of the United States, or talking about Mexicans being criminals and dope dealers and racists. And, you know, there are a bunch of white people who pretend that this isn't happening, but you hear it with your own ears. There's no doubt, there's no question about Trump's racism. It's just there. So players of color aren't going. But what's interesting is white players are fine with it. You know, and I've said this before, I have been in debates with conservatives and conservative white males. And these are people I respect. I'm not talking about crazy Trump people. I'm talking about reasonable people that you can talk to. And I said to him, well, the reason you can support Trump if you're a white male is you can dismiss the racism. You just ignore that. And then you can justify anything. You can justify the financial policy or whatever. But these ball players, they're not ignorant. They know. They know what's going on, and they know how he feels about their teammates, and they're all right with it. The women of Baylor who won, how can you take women to the Trump White House is beyond me. And if you look at the pictures, you can see that the black players on the Baylor College women's basketball team, you could see by the look in their eye, they were like, what the hell are we doing here? Why do we have to be here? It sucks. It absolutely sucks. So Jemele Hill wrote a great article about this, and I suggest you look for it. Again, I'm not going to read this entire article, but she goes into it, and, you know, it started with the history of sports team visiting the White House began in 1865 when Union soldiers played baseball in the White House grounds to pay homage to a game they loved and send a unifying message to a country torn apart by the Civil War. If you take out by the Civil War, they could be talking about today. Of course, Andrew Johnson, the president, wasn't really on board. He said, this is a country for white men, and by God, so long as I'm president, it shall be a government for white men, which again could be said today. So it is a great article, and it is a great question. Why are they okay with it? And here's another thing. If you're going to be a racist athlete, like, and I don't even remember his name, but the defensive lineman, the second draft pick in the NFL, who was picked by San Francisco. This guy's a Trump supporter. He had a bunch of racist tweets about Beyonce isn't any good and Colin Kaepernick's a clown and blah, 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 blah. And then right before the NFL draft, he deleted all of his tweets. If you're going to be that, at least stand up for yourself and be that. Okay, I'm going to get drafted by San Francisco. I got to act like I'm not this hateful, racist bastard. No, you are. So be who you are. And you think they don't know who you are? You think the other players don't know who you are? They know. So at least have the courage to be what you are. Why are white players comfortable with it? I don't know. Tiger Woods. All right. I'm not going to say I hate the question. I don't like the Tiger Woods question. I don't like what Tiger Woods is doing. Again, it is up to him. I am not here to say he's wrong. It's his choice. He can be whoever he is. He can do whatever he wants to do. But Tiger Woods going to the White House and accepting some bullshit award from Trump is just a shit move. It's a shit move. You know, yeah, he won the Masters. So what? You know, what a slap in the face. A long time ago, Charles Barkley, who is quite often the wisdom of the people, told Tiger when, as soon as he became a pro golfer, he said, forget all that multicultural shit, your ass is black. Yes, Tiger, you are a black golfer. That's how they see you. Don't kid yourself. Don't think you're in. You're very rich, unbelievably rich. You have business dealings with Trump and all that. That's fine. But don't act like you're some... I don't even know what he is. I don't even know how to describe it. Someone asked me, I did a show at City Space, a great room in Boston with WBUR, their NPR station. Someone said, if I were invited to the White House, would I go? No. But no, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't do anything that could be construed as support of this administration. Now, Tiger tried the bullshit of, well, it's respecting the office of the president, not the person. Listen, the person in the office of the president has no respect for the office of the president. So stop pretending, okay? I hate when they act innocent or ignorant. When they know exactly what they're doing and they know exactly who they're supporting and so on. So sorry, Tiger. God bless you. Good luck. You blew it on this one. Theo Epstein is a racist asshole who was at a Cubs game. And Doug Glanville, who's an ex-player and reporter, was doing his interview, his segment, doing his job at Wrigley Field, and this asshole stands behind him and flashes that upside down OK sign, that white supremacist signal that we saw at the Kavanaugh hearings every day. You know, that, you know, again, doesn't exist. These are good people. These are good, fine people. These white supremacists, as I've said it before, I'll say it again. White supremacists are the least supreme looking white people you will ever see. It's proven over and over again. So this guy's going to flash a signal now. Good for the Cubs. The Cubs found out who he was, ejected him, and banned him from Wrigley Field. So good for them. Good for them for getting on that and doing that and doing the right thing. Sometimes the right thing happens, and no, I don't hate all white people, and not all people are racist. White people are red, blah, blah, blah. You know, I check my Twitter. You'll hear it now and then, which is fun because usually it's a bot talking shit. Should I be proud? Did I get bots trolling me? By the way, you know it's a bot when they have one follower or two followers. Okay, just if you're wondering. Harley-Davidson plant in Kansas City, which will be closing directly because of Trump and the tariffs. Long history of racism at the plant. Nooses, racial insults painted on the walls, etc., etc., etc. Of course, Harley says, we don't like it and it'll be investigated, but it's still done. How hard is it to investigate? I'm sure if a Muslim painted some anti-Christian rhetoric on the wall, that investigation would go much faster. What do you think? How long do you think that investigation would take if a guy named Muhammad painted some anti-Christian shit on the wall or some support of some terrorist organization? So, you know, guys who worked at the plant, all the time I worked there, it's been there. It's just ridiculous, says Emmanuel Matthews, who worked at the plant for more than 2 years. There's a big class action lawsuit going on. Harley's claiming that it's their contract company, Syncreon, you know, who is in charge of this, blah, blah, blah. This is what's funny. This is what's so funny about these racists and Trump supporters and so on. The plant in Kansas City is closing, not because the Mexicans are taking your jobs, not because of black people. It wasn't Barack Obama. It was Donald Trump. It was Donald Trump and his tax thing and his tariffs that made the upper echelon at Harley say, wait a minute, we don't need that plant. What we need to do is divvy up this tax savings, this profits amongst ourselves, and open up, move that plant to Thailand. They're moving some of the work to York, Pennsylvania, but they are going to be building bikes in Thailand. So that's a reason to hate black people. It's also a reason that I'm not into Harley, because Harley is interesting, and I find this fun. It's actually funny to me. I know of two companies that are supported by white supremacists and black people: Harley-Davidson, Smith & Wesson. Yeah, that's the funniest thing to me. Harley-Davidson, there is a hardcore contingent of black Harley-Davidson riders. They ride some beautiful bikes, and they're good people, and they love Harley. They swear by Harley. But at the same time, Harley's ridden by those Hells Angels types, the hardcore bikers, and racism and white supremacy is part of their thing. It blows my mind. Part of why I don't have a Harley. Also, I can't get into the whole wear the costume and act like I'm going to beat people up thing. But, you know, I do have a vest. It doesn't have patches. So here it is again. I don't mean to veer off of the sports thing into racism. I'm going to get back to the sports thing because there is a great story and a great book that I'm looking forward to reading, and I'm going to talk about it. But let's get through a couple other things really quick. Donald Trump lost $1 billion through the 80s and 90s. We knew this. This is not news. It's being reported as news, but we'd already heard how much money he lost, and he used this loss of $1 billion. He's a great businessman, greatest deal maker ever. Only lost $1 billion. Dad bailed him out every time. The man bankrupted casinos. I worked at one of those casinos. Fortunately, my check didn't bounce. apparently everyone else's did. He bankrupted a business that people go to lose money. What more do you need to know? The man bankrupted three casinos. So what he did, he used all of these losses, $1 billion or more, to avoid paying taxes. And he didn't pay taxes for years. And again, his followers, to them, he's a brilliant businessman because he didn't pay taxes. Meanwhile, they're paying taxes. I ain't mad at him. I ain't mad at him for that. You know, if you can fool people to that level, see, this is where, you know, and it's similar to when Sarah Palin was around. Sarah Palin was not smart when it came to issues or policy or history or geography, but Sarah Palin knew how to work the media. Sarah Palin knew how to keep Sarah Palin's name in the media, how to make Sarah Palin famous, and how to make Sarah Palin a lot of money. Donald Trump doesn't know anything about running businesses. Donald Trump doesn't know, you know, his family did that for him. Donald Trump's an idiot. He doesn't know anything about foreign policy or any of these things. He does know how to manipulate the media, and he's even better at manipulating small-minded people's hatred. And it works, and it works, and it works. So right now, different polls are saying different things, but I keep reading that if the election were tomorrow, Trump would win again. And traveling America, I believe it. Now, some of my progressive friends say no, that there's a lot of people who say they'll never vote for him again, that Congress is against him, and they're saying there's enough Republican Senate. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think that he would get elected if the election were tomorrow, no problem. The Democrats, this thing between the Pelosi and the progressives has got to stop. Nancy Pelosi is not a progressive. Nancy Pelosi is a businesswoman, and I'm going to say Nancy knows how it works. Nancy been in the game too long, but she knows how it works. Yeah, she raises a lot of money. Yeah, she aims for the middle. She basically, and I read an interesting article about her. She said that radical policies scare people. Big change scares people. So rather than say Medicare for all, say, hey, we're going to protect your health care. That's the way she looks at it. And I don't think there's a fight going on between her and AOC. I really don't. I think AOC would has far more left wing. I don't like the term radical, but you can use that, policies and ideas. I agree with her. I agree. Listen, I think Elizabeth Warren is right. We should have free college. Yes, we should be a smarter society. It's for the good of society. If not Medicare for all, some kind of health plan. It's ridiculous. It's criminal that people go bankrupt when they get sick. They go bankrupt. And sorry, Mr. Trump. Did I say Mr. Trump? Sorry, asshole Trump. These people don't have rich fathers to bail them out. They're in the real world. That's criminal. That's embarrassing. It's a shame for our nation that this goes on. But at the same time, to be president, you have to be elected. Now, you're not going to get the Trump supporters. You're not going to get the hardcore red, but you got to get the middle. You got to get the, and if the middle is scared of a Green New Deal, then you bring that in slowly and you show how you're going to create jobs building solar panels or something, which Barack Obama did. You know, you show it as job creation, right? You can't scare them. You can't scare. Yeah. It activates the young. And whatever it takes to get elected, the Democrats need to figure out how to work together to do it. But sitting up there, every time there's a Pelosi versus progressives or AOC versus, you know, old school Democrat, every one of those loses votes and just tells the people that, oh, the Democrats don't know how to lead. So please, just stop it. Trump Jr. subpoenaed by Congress. I think I talked about this already. I don't even know. I'm so over this whole Mueller report thing. You know. You've been listening. You know. You knew it the day after he got elected. Russia was involved. His kids knew about it. They were making deals to build a tower, et cetera, et cetera. Now you get subpoenaed because you lied and you go back and you're going to plead the fifth or take different lies or executive privilege and bar the attorney general is nothing but a mouthpiece for Trump and blah, blah, blah. I had one listener say she hates when I say blah, blah, blah. So I'll say bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Maybe that's better. It's the same thing. Round and round. I'm done. I'm over it. I told you before. I'm over the Mueller report. I don't think it's going to change anything. I don't think anything's going to get done. There won't be any impeachment. This is an area where Nancy Pelosi's like, we're not going to go for impeachment because she knows it's not going to get done. It should be done. It's obvious violations of the Constitution. And again, Barack Obama, he was going to bring down the Constitution and ignore all the federal laws and expand the presidency to a dictatorship, blah, blah, blah. Now it seems okay. So here's the thing. This is my last one. Getting back to sports. See all this Trump stuff? Here we go. He cheats at golf. Anyone who plays golf will tell you there's nothing lower than someone who cheats at golf. They say if you want to get to know a person, play a round of golf with them and you'll see who they really are. Donald Trump is such an insecure, egomaniacal asshole that he cheats at golf. And he'll even cheat against children. Rick Riley was a sports writer for the Sports Illustrated and just brilliant writer. He has written some of the funniest books about golf and about sports. Just go through Rick Riley's body of work. It's great. So he has written a book about Donald Trump cheating in golf. It's called Commander in Cheat. And it's about Trump's love of golf and his willingness to do anything to win or to believe he won. So Trump says he's won 20 championships, 20 of his club championships. For those who don't know, a golf club, not club that you hit the ball with, but a country club where they play golf. They have a championship every year, and there's somebody and everyone knows who he is. There's somebody there who's a great golfer, and they win the championship. Trump claims to have won the championship at all of his clubs. Well, this is why. Because when the club first opens, he plays by himself. He plays by himself. Him and Melania get in the cart. He does a round, and then he puts his name on the trophy as the first club champion. That's how he's won 20. Now, to get an idea of how insecure and lowlife this guy is. And remember, cheating at golf. See, golf is a game of honor. You keep your own score. You watch yourself. You don't break the rules. If you do by accident, if you move the ball a little over, you're supposed to penalize yourself. That's how golf works. So Trump claims he's the champ of Mar-a-Lago. And this is how he won. He challenged the champion of the club, the actual champion, to 6 holes. And this guy's not exactly a winner, but the champ was playing with his kid, his 10-year-old kid. Trump hit a ball into the pond, pretended that he put it on the green. Of course, the kid had put the ball on the green, so Trump stole the kid's ball and claimed that the ball the kid hit, claimed it was his, and claimed the kids went in the water. He won. So that's it. The president of the United States will steal a kid's golf ball to cheat and win and say he's champion. That's all. That's all you need to know. Anyone remotely associated with golf will tell you that's all you need to know about a person to know who you're dealing with. Man's piece of shit, plain and simple. All right, we're done. Thank you. Thanks for listening. You know I appreciate you. Next weekend, this weekend I'm going to be in Hollywood. I'm going to be doing a show called Good Heroin. I'm not doing Good Heroin. The show is called Good Heroin. Saturday night in Echo Park on May 11th. May 12th is Mother's Day. Don't forget Mom. I lost my mom. I love my mom. She was the funniest person I've ever known. So I wish her and all the mothers out there happy Mother's Day. Next weekend, I'm going to be in Detroit I haven't been to Detroit in years. I'm going to be at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan. I'm really looking forward to that. And then I will start the Family Feud Live tour, which go to familyfeudlive.com. I'm going to talk about it more in the next podcast. But we're doing live episodes of live version of Family Feud, and I'm going to be the host. So do I have to start growing a mustache? I don't know. I will get some sleep. You'll get that joke if you look up Steve Harvey. Just see why Steve's trending. We'll talk about sleep. Okay, I'll tell you. Steve Harvey said you'll never get rich if you sleep 8 hours a day. It's 1/3 of your life. And then Bill Gates said, well, I take naps and leave blank time in my schedule because I need to take time to think. Who are you going to listen to? It's your choice. Either way, I'm going to be host of those live shows, and I hope to see you out there. This is Alonzo asking, who's paying attention? You are. And as always, I appreciate you.